grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Stir up our hearts, O Lord, to prepare the way of your only Son. By his coming, nurture our growth as people of repentance and peace through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. So, Chloe, I was noticing that when you came up, you chose a spot right next to Avery, and you were just giving her a hug. And I want to know, how do you know Avery? How do you know her? Is she your next door neighbor? No? Is she your sister? She's your cousin. Does anybody else have a cousin? Maybe not right here. You have a cousin here. You have a cousin here. You do. You've got sisters here.
Yeah.
You don't have any cousins here. Do you have cousins?
Yes.
All right. Cousins are really wonderful. I have probably more cousins than anybody else, probably anybody in this room. I have, not counting my dad's side of the family, but just on my mom's side of the family, I have 52 first cousins. And most of them are married with kids. So if we would have all of my cousins come, we would have to set up extra chairs. In the gospel, we hear about Jesus and his cousin. Do you know? Does anybody know who's Jesus' cousin's name? What Jesus' cousin's name is? What do you think? No, that's his dad. It's Joseph. What's Jesus' cousin's name? Anybody know? John the Baptist, John. And today's gospel, you won't hear it because you'll be out at in Sunday school. But in the gospel today, we're going to hear this story about John the Baptist. I have another question for you before I let you go. What did you have for breakfast this morning?
Toast, bacon, and eggs.
Toast, bacon, and eggs. What did you have for breakfast?
Sausage McMuffin.
Okay. Avery, what did you have?
Applesauce.
That's good. Chloe, how about you? Did you have breakfast? Yeah?
Cereal?
Oh, that sounds good. What did you have, Miss Danielle? A breakfast sandwich. Emily? You guys have good breakfast. Well, John the Baptist had something that no one mentioned. You know, he lived out in the wilderness by the River Jordan, and what he had for breakfast was wild honey, which sounds really good to me. Do you like honey? Does anybody like honey on their toast? Well, he had honey and locusts. Locust. Does anybody know what a locust is? It's like a grasshopper. So that's where he got his protein. He didn't eat bacon or sausage. He ate locusts. Maybe if they're dipped in honey, they're not so bad. That's what he ate, because he was living outside. So John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, had one important job in his life, and that was to point to Jesus. His job was to point to Jesus, and that is our job too. We point to Jesus in a lot of different ways. One way that you all point to Jesus is by presenting a play next Sunday, and that will help us to think about Jesus, so you go learn more how to point to Jesus. Okay, let's sing them out.
A reading from Isaiah. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lay down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play with the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. On that day the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now, John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him, and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming to him for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourself, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, and he will gather the wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Last fall, I made a commitment that I would preach on the Isaiah text during this season of Advent. Last week, the prophet gave us a clear Christmas image and sound. Hammer against anvil, spears beat into pruning hooks, swords beat into plowshares, weapons turned into farm implements, war turned into providing for all. In today's reading from Isaiah, there are so many images we hardly know where to look. A shoot from the stump of Jesse. The gifts of the Holy Spirit being poured down. The peaceable kingdom where predators and prey live side by side and babies play unharmed near poisonous snakes. One smart aleck commentator said, "The wolf will lie down with the lamb, but the lamb won't get much sleep." Listen again to the first half of the first verse of chapter 11 that we just heard. "A shoot shall come out of the stump of Jesse." A stump is dead. Isaiah told us that God said it would be like that. Just before this chapter, God declared judgment on the people of Israel. Isaiah writes, "The tallest trees will be cut down, and the lofty will be brought low." The trees, meaning the people, will be cut down to nothing, just stumps. And then from the same prophet comes this word of hope. A shoot shall come out of the stump of Jesse. Wow, what a promise! Life out of a dead stump. Imagine a Christmas tree, a stump. Not an evergreen tree in the corner decorated with lights and tinsel. Isaiah gives us a Christmas image of a tree that is a stump, sawed off, looking quite dead. But on closer look, as you look down at that stump and you see in the crevice right on the side, a little green shoot. No bigger than my little finger, just sneaking up. A little bit of life in that dead stump, pushing its way toward the sun, pushing its way up out of that stump. One of my favorite walks is I drive over to Spanish Landing and park there and then walk down to the Embarcadero, heading down toward Seaport Village. I don't always make it that far, but I do head down that direction. And along the way, there are benches that the city has placed there where you could sit down and watch the action out on the bay. There are little, like, pocket gardens, little small areas where there's green grass, where you could spread out a blanket and just bask in the light of the sun. One corner along that path, when the pathway takes you away from the bay and out closer to Harbor Drive, one corner there has been fenced off with that orange plastic fencing. I wondered what was going on. And as I walked past week after week, I saw jackhammers in there, and they were pounding away at that corner at the cement. And then the next time I would see this pile of rubble, and the orange fencing is still there. I keep watching for some progress in that loud, messy, dusty corner. Week after week, I look to see what's going to happen. What's happening on this corner? But I don't see any progress. The fencing's still there around that corner of broken cement and rock. And right in the middle of this corner, something green is poking up. A little seedling, probably a weed of some sort, a tender shoot breaking through that rock and rubble, coming up. Every time I see that shoot coming out of the rocks, it makes me smile. A miracle. Something beautiful out of the brokenness. There's a guy that lives down the street from me. I run into him every once in a while, usually at Barron's, at the grocery store, which is only like two blocks from my house. And I see him there. His wife died a number of years ago. I don't know that. I think they were married for 40, 50, maybe more years. And that event really changed him. I rarely see him. And when I did, he just looked so tired. He was slumped, his head always down. His shoulders curved in. He never returned a greeting. I would say hello to him as I always have. And it was like he was uninterested in everything. He seemed to be just cut off from everyone and everything. I got used to seeing him and not having him see me, not being acknowledged. But then, just before Thanksgiving, I saw him in the parking lot, and he saw me too. And he waited at the door of the grocery store. And as he said hello, and he was almost chatty. And as we walked into the store, I picked up my basket and went this way, and he followed along. And every time I would stop to look at the parsnips, he would stop and look at the parsnips too, and always chatting and chatting. And I thought, wow, I don't know what happened, but there was a sudden change in this man. Maybe it didn't feel so sudden to him, though. Maybe this was a change that was a long time coming. Maybe he was like this shoot coming out of the stump, slowly reaching for sunlight and finally breaking through. There must have been some explanation, but it seemed to me like a miracle. Something beautiful out of something broken. A couple weeks ago, I was on the East Coast for Thanksgiving weekend with my sister, and we went to DC and we visited one of the Smithsonian museums. We went to the National Museum of the American Indian. That is a beautiful museum. If you ever get a chance to visit there, take a couple hours. We were there for 4 or 5 hours and didn't see all we wanted to see. It's a great museum, but my favorite part of it, given the current situation at Standing Rock and the big number of Native peoples from across the Americas who are going to North Dakota, I was especially interested in seeing the section of the museum called Nation to Nation that was about the treaties, all of the treaties that the United States has written with the Native tribes. In the beginning, when first contact was made between Europeans and the Native peoples, there were treaties drawn up between the peoples. And the treaties were titled Friendship and Peace. From your vast knowledge of Western movies, or my vast knowledge of Western movies, I should say, we all know about peace treaties. And those treaties called peace and friendship were made for many years. And then later, as land became more valuable and the Native peoples were pushed west, the land became more valuable than the peoples. And the contract or the treaty titles changed. No longer called friendship treaties or peace treaties. Now they were called commerce treaties. And then later, when gold or silver or oil or even just space became more important, found on that land, the title of the treaties changed to removal. The Native peoples being pushed further and further into small areas and then finally into reservations, and then even that land taken away. This is a sad part of our American history. But Native hope is stubborn. They keep believing that truth and right will have the last word. You can try to keep people down. You can put all kinds of obstacles in the way, and yet they push through the rubble. They break through the rock and reach for the sunlight. They stand up and invite others to stand with them for the land, for the water, for the respect of the treaties. There isn't a miracle yet, but maybe soon. Something beautiful out of that brokenness. Can we pray for a Christmas miracle at Standing Rock? A shoot will come out of the stump of Jesse. Who can imagine anything growing as they sat on that stoop in utter despair? I've sat there myself. Perhaps you have too. You might be there now, in a place of despair, at a place where hope seems totally cut off, where loss and despair have deadened your heart. On that stoop, on that stump, God's word in Advent comes and sits next to us. This word does not invite us to jump up and be filled with joy. Isaiah's vision is small, surprising, and small. The nation would never rise again. That shoot would not become a mighty oak or a towering cedar. The shoot that was growing would be different than what people expected. Isaiah writes at the end, toward the end of the book in chapter 53, "For he grew up before him like a young plant, like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. A shoot shall come from the stump of Jesse, surprising yet tenacious, fragile yet stubborn. It will grow like a plant in dry ground. It will push back stone from the rock-hard tomb." That hope, it will grow in the heart of a man who has been cut off by sorrow, until one morning he can lift his head. One morning he can get out of bed and look up again. It will grow in the hearts of people who have been told that they're worth nothing, who have been told over and over again that they are wrong and that their lives don't matter. The shoot will grow. It will break through places where no one would expect. A Christmas tree, a miracle, something beautiful out of brokenness. Something beautiful out of your brokenness. Growth where we don't expect it. Hope when we feel hopeless. A promise from our God who loves us. A promise that we know we can trust in because that loving God is always true to God's promise. A shoot will come out of the stump of Jesse. Amen.